Good morning, and a Boker Tov. Here we go. Mesechus Sotah Daf Lamed Dalet. Lamed Hey is today. Lamed Dalet, Amed Beis. About three words from the end of the Daf. Huge, action-packed Daf. Had much about the Meraglim, the spies. What happened? What do they do? What do they say? What was the outcome? And lots on that subject. So let's get started right here. And go back and forth to the Meraglim, somewhat to the Yardin too. I know we have lots to discuss. Let's see how much we can get in for today. All right. Let's hold on our seats. Let's get started. By Yeshuvim Mitor Aretz, and the Meraglim came back from their investigating of the land of Eretz Yisrael. Vayelchu Vayavohu, they went, they came to Moshe and Aaron. What's this extra word? Vayelchu Vayavohu, top of Lamed Hey Amud Aleph. Turning over. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Makish Halicha L'Bia. We're going to compare Halicha and Bia. Coming and going, what? Ma bia be'etzara, just like coming to Eretz Yisrael, or returning from Eretz Yisrael, was with etzara, was with harmful advice, a harmful message, afalicha be'etzara. So too, when they went, they were already on a mission to go without the greatest mindset. Hopefully we'll talk about that soon. Like saprilo, vayomru, banu, they came and they said, right, we came to Eretz Yisrael, luksiv efes ki azaam, and that it was a strong nation. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Simon Emes Levado Levaya, Yishum Rabbi Meir, Koloshan Harash, Ein Bo Dvar Emes Betchilaso, Ein Meskayim Besofo. Any Lashon Hara that does not have in its beginning any truth to it will not endure, will not move on. What does Rashi say? Einu Meskayim, says Rashi, last wide line on top, Shemachazikin Osan Hashomin Kivadoin. Lefikach Omer Dvar Emes Tchila Kidei Shiyaminu. Should say something at the beginning that's true, or a person should say something that's true if they want to be believed, because otherwise it won't be believed. So to the Meraglim, Lekach Pascho B'Shvach Ha'aretz Tchila. So to the Meraglim began with the Shevach of Eretz Yisrael. This is Eretz, Zavas, Cholav, Udvash. They wanted to bring up the beauty of Eretz Yisrael, which is, I heard some beautiful pshat that emes is what endures, emes is what stands. As long as there's some emes in there, it can really stand. But to recognize also that there's just a sense of truth whenever we can sense truth. So if there's truth mixed in, sometimes it's harder to discern whether or not it's true or not. Vayahas Kalev Esa'am. And Kalev quieted the nation. El Moshe. What does it mean, El Moshe? Says Rashi, El Moshe, Bidvarim, Shehischel Daber B'Moshe. He began to speak about Moshe. Well, he swarm Shebegnuso wrote to the Saper that Kalev stood up, he was one of the good guys, right? Kalev and Yoshua. So when they all gave their bad reports, Kalev stood up. And what did they think he was going to say? What happened? Amar Rabba, she sison Bidvarim, he fooled them with his words. Pasach Yeshua, because what happened? Pasach Yeshua de Kamishtoi. When Yeshua stood up and he began to give a positive report about Moshe and Eretz Yisrael, they quieted him down. Amri Leh, didn't Rosh Ketil Yamalel? They said, are you going to like somebody with a cut off head? Will he be the one who's going to speak? What does that mean? You whose head is cut off? What were they referring to? So the B'nai Yisrael referring to that he didn't have his kids yet. And therefore, going into Eretz Yisrael would not have that lasting generational effect. And therefore, they said, you don't be the ones to speak to us about what's going to happen in Eretz Yisrael. We're nervous for the children. Amar, so then Kalev stood up, and Kalev didn't want to just be quieted down like Yoshua, just to speak good about Eretz Yisrael and Moshe Rabbeinu. So he had to get them. What was his hook? Amar, imishta'ina, if I also oppose them, Amar be'milsa v'chasmanli, they're just going to shut me up. Amar Lahan, so what did he say to the nation? V'chizu b'vado salu? Asulon ben Amram. Did ben Amram speak? Is this all that ben Amram did about us? And what do we know? How did he call Moshe Rabbeinu? Ben Amram. It's a very negative connotation. Ben Amram. Is this all that ben Amram did for us? Savri bignuse komishtoi. Ishtiku. They thought he was speaking, all right, Kalev's on our side now. He's speaking negative about Moshe Rabbeinu. Let's listen. First name, not speaking by somebody's first name, just saying Ben Amram is a very negative thing. Dale Carnegie, in his famous book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, I believe it's an exact quote. A name is the sweetest sounding thing to a person. calling somebody by his name, recognizing that name, appreciating that name. And therefore, by saying Ben Amram, it was a very negative way to approach him. Indeed, public speaking tips, right? Short and sweet. Let's get to that in just a moment, okay? But we have a few tips today, and just his shocking opening. I was just fascinated by it. He stood up and he said, "Is this all that Ben Amram did for us?" They're like, "Whoa!" And they all listened to Kalev. What do you mean? What was so shocking? But just he began with a total hook in on page number 209 in how to open a talk. Dale Carnegie, Public Speaking for Success. Shock your audience, he says. Make them sit up and take notice. Say something that will jar them out of their daydreams. To be effective, you must demand attention. That's what Kalev did, as he demanded attention from the people as soon as he said, "Is this all that Ben Amram did for us?" Now that he has their attention, what does he say? Fascinating. Let's take a look. Amar Lehen. Amarlu, Hotsiyanu Mitzrayim, he took us out from Egypt. V'karlanu Sayam, he split the sea for us. V'chilu Asaman, he fed us the man. Im Yomar Asu Sulamos Alulurakia, now if he's going to tell us, make ladders and climb up to the heavens. Lo Nishmalo, would we not listen to him? So Alunalav Yerashno Savachulo, let's go to Eretz Yisrael. Which means that he got them with the hook. He then said, "Is this all that Ben Amram did for us?" And then he started to recount the number of great things that Moshe did for them. And then he said, a fascinating comment, if he tells us to build ladders and go up to the heavens, would we not do so? Of course we would. So let's go to Eretz Yisrael. First of all, short, sweet, motivational talk, very TED Talk-like style. Just kind of get it in there really quick. The Marshal is perplexed by his example. Asu sulamos v'alu l'rakia? If he tells us to build ladders and go to heaven? Is that the best example to tell Klal Yisrael to believe in Moshe Rabbeinu? So if Moshe tells us to build ladders, of course we'll do so. What do you mean? So the Marsha, oh, beautiful Marsha, says, what's the gematria of Sulam? Kol, voice. Kuf, Vav, Lamed. And therefore, what does it mean, Asu Sulamos? If Moshe tells us that we have the Sulamos within us, the ability to have our voice, the ability to pray and get to the Rakia, would we not do so? If Moshe Rabbeinu explains to us that we have the ability to connect to Hashem, rely on Hashem, talk to Hashem, ask from Hashem, then we would do so. So now let's go to Eretz Yisrael, which is the most opportune place in the world to pray. Beautiful. Says the Marsha. So what did the people respond? Lo nuchal, we're not able to go. We just can't make this happen. The Chafetz Chaim in Shmiras HaLashon brings down this Gemara and he describes how we see that the Yetzer Hara works. Even when we, right, when we want to do bad, of course we'll do bad, right? But even when we want to do good, right, Kalev, you know, Yoshua still, he's going up against us. We should constantly recognize the battle that we're up against, to constantly always try to be on guard for the Yetzer Hara. Amar Bichinina Bar Papa, Dover Gadol Dover, Dibru Meraglim Ba'oso Shah. A great thing the Meraglim said at that time. Ki Chazok Hu Mimenu. Meaning a very bad, big thing that they said at that time. They said, Ki Chazok Hu Mimenu. Right? He is greater than us. They are greater than us. But who are they referring to? Al Tikri Mimenu. Don't read that they are greater than us. The nations of Canaan. And therefore we can't go. Ela Mimenu Kiviyachol. But they mentioned that they're too great for Hashem to manage. Afilu balabayis eno yachol lahotzi kelyo misham. That even the balabayis of the world cannot remove his dishes, you know, from the kitchen. Meaning that they're too great for him, it's too much for him to do, and therefore we are really stuck here. The unbelievable negativity in what they were able to describe. What I wanted to bring up before is just the pshat that we have to recognize about the Meraglim is that it wasn't just totally bad, right? Well, I heard this a long time ago, and it's, again, it's so important to remember. Much of the Mefarshim bring down is that the reason why the Meraglim did not want to go into Eretz Yisrael is not just because it was negative at Eretz Yisrael, because they were living on supernatural miracles in the Midbar for 40 years. They
didn't want to give it up.
They didn't want to give it up. They were nervous to give it up. They thought that had they gone into Eretz Yisrael and it was more dealing with the world and working in Derech Teva with Hashem there, of course, but that they wouldn't deserve to have Hashem's grace. They wouldn't be on that level to do so. And trying to then circumvent...
And they proved it.
So... so in, even in these terrible comments that they're saying, it was really bad, and it caused tremendous pain and suffering throughout the generations, even until today, but to recognize that the motivation behind it might have been somewhat positive in trying to keep their supernatural state. But of course, Hashem does not want us to live like angels. He wants to live like human beings, being in Eretz Yisrael, living life, eating, working, being able to juggle and balance all those, and trying to still serve Hashem within that dynamic. Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Ocheles Yoshvehi, what did they say about Eretz Yisrael? That it was an Eretz Ocheles Yoshveh, that it consumes its inhabitants, meaning everyone's dying there, which was true. The Gemara explains that everyone was dying there. What did they mean? Yes?
I just want to say, being in the desert couldn't fulfill our mission of being a light to the nations. I mean, we're sequestered there. We can't, you know, come out into the world and do what we're supposed to do.
Absolutely, Elazar. You're absolutely right. But can you imagine their fear? 210 years in slavery. All of a sudden, oh, sea splits, oh, God reveals himself that they get a Torah. They're like, wow, look at this Torah, our life mission. All of a sudden, they get mud, and they don't have to go to the bathroom. They have the same pair of shoes their whole life. And they're just like leading a very, very, the water is there from, wow. Going to Eretz Yisrael, fight nations, have wars for 7 years, all of a sudden have to start, you know, being a farmer or being a, like, that's not easy. That's not. Not only is it not easy, they were lazy, but what if they mess up? What's going to happen? Darash Rava Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ani Chashavti L'Tova. Meaning, Hashem says, I wanted to do good. I made everybody there die so that you guys can be safe. V'heim Chashvu L'Ra. And they wanted, and they thought about it as bad. Ani Chashavti L'Tova D'chol Hecha D'Matu, that wherever they went, Meis Chashiva D'Tu, that the important people there died. Ki Hechi D'Nitra D'U, Hashem did so that the people of Canaan would be busy with the bearers, Lo Lish Elu Abasrao, and they won't have to start asking about, who are those random guys that are, who are those tourists who look a little sketchy? Right? They wouldn't have to do that. Therefore, Hashem's doing great stuff, and they're just saying, oh, look, it's Ocheles Yoshveha. This land is terrible. People are dying. Vigadamri, maybe it's not everybody was dying, but who died? Eov Nachnashe. A little bit less famous. And Eov died. Vitridu Kuliyama Bespeda. And everybody there, kind of, he was such a great person that everybody was involved with this Hesped. Heim Chashvu L'Ra, Eretz Ocheles Yoshvehi.
And they did go to Hebron. Just, you know, it was like a burial place.
Good.
It would make sense that they would say it, actually.
Good point.
You know.
It was Kalev who went to Hebron, right?
Right.
Yes, we said yesterday. It was a singular. Right. We did have the pasuk, right? Vayalu b'negev, as we had midway down. Lam dalam and beis. Vayavo ad Hebron, says the Gemara. Vayavo was singular. It wasn't Vayavo'u, right? And as Rava there explained, Kalev split off from the Negev and went to Hebron. Good. Ian Yaakov says, wait, was it their fault? People were dying! They didn't, how did they know nobody died before? People weren't dying afterwards, it was just then. They get there, and all of a sudden these famous people are dying, whether it's Eov or the others. So is it really their fault? All they saw was death. Should they have not reported that back? Is that not a part of the report of the land of Eretz Yisrael? Explains Ian Yaakov beautifully, that if a person has a moon and bitachon in Hashem, he recognizes that it's all for good. And the Malachim should have accepted that and not brought it back in a negative way, but they should have just kind of allowed that to relax and allowed that to recognize, and us also to recognize that everything's for the best, everything that happens to us all the time for the best. Very simple, yet perhaps the most profound thing that we can ever truly internalize. The Ben Yoyada says, no, it was unique, because if there's a plague in the land and people are dying, some sort of sickness, who would die first? The weak and the... Old, not the aristocratic, young, strong people. The Hashimu people were dying. The aristocrat, famous, those. So that's not a plague. They should have seen the anomaly in what was taking place. That wasn't the word of the day. There's one coming. They should have seen what was taking place.
Good, I was getting disappointed.
I know. But Eliezer said sequestered before. I said anomaly. I'm amazed. Okay, it's an exciting day. So therefore, they should have seen that Ben Yoyada Ian Yaakov as to why they should have noticed something. Vanhi beininu kechagovim. One of my favorite lines from the story. Vanhi beininu kechagovim. We felt like grasshoppers in our eyes. V'chein hayinu, right? V'chulu, which means that we were like grasshoppers in their eyes. Amar Masharshia. So first, let's read it. Meraglim and Shakri Havu. The Meraglim were liars. Bishlam and Himeinu Kechagovim. Okay, Lachai. Very good that they were grasshoppers in their eyes. They had low self-esteem. They couldn't manage. Great. Granted, but to say that we were like grasshoppers in their eyes, how do they know how they were perceived in other people's eyes? We think about ourselves, how we look in other people's eyes. We don't know what they truly think.
We
don't know what Hashem put into their eyes. So how could they possibly say that? Velohi, and they weren't. What was taking place, right? When they were having their Sudas Havra, which is the Suda after somebody passes away, right after the funeral, Tute Arzi Havumavri, they were under the tree, and when they saw the Meraglim, Soku Yasvi Beilone, right? The Meraglim climbed up, they jumped up the tree, Shame Deka Amri, and they heard the people say, Kachazinu Inshi, we see people, Dedamu Lekamse Beilone, they look like they could be kind of grasshoppers jumping up the tree. Anyways, that's the story there. There's so much brought down on this pasuk. I've heard, right? I'm sure we've all heard shiurim about self-esteem coming from here. We, only because we felt like grasshoppers, the pasuk's strange. We felt like grasshoppers, so they looked at us like grasshoppers. Our self-image, our self-respect is projected onto others, and we feel that way. We feel like we have that self-confidence, self-worth, and who we are and what we are, and that's also given over to.
I wonder why grasshoppers.
Excellent question. Excellent question. I remember hearing an answer. I don't remember the answer. But this is an excellent question. Fantastic. There was some element of what grasshoppers are like. Yes. Tov. Ayin Sham. Well, homework for today? Batisa Kaleida Vainu Kolam Vaivku. And they all started crying. Very famous line here. Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Yochan. O so hayom Erev Tisha B'Av. Hayo. That was Erev Tisha B'Av. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You guys are crying for nothing. I promised you Eretz Yisrael was going to be great. You start crying because you're afraid about going. I will make this a source of your crying for generations. This is the Batei HaMikdash and the Galus, everything that we've gone through. We know what Tisha B'Av is all about. This is a source right here. Let's stone them. Yoshua and Kalei, let's pelt them with stones. But right afterwards, it says that Hashem Shechina was appeared in the Ohel Moed. Amar Bichia Bar Abba, Melamed, a scary line. Shenotu Avonim, that the Bnei Yisrael took stones, Vizorkum Klapi Mala, and they threw them heavenward. Whatever that means. Some say there was some sort of verbal complaint they were complaining against Hashem. Unbelievably powerful. Vayimusu Anashim Motzei Dibas Haaretz Rav Bamageifa. Those people died. Amar Bishon ben Lakish and Mesu Misha Mishuna. They died some terrible death. Let's read about that death. Graphic. Gemara ahead. Amar Bichina bar Papa Darsha Bishil Ish Kfar Tamarta. Lamet Shinestarbe Lashuna. Lashona Venafal Altiburam. That their tongue stretched out and it kind of reached their navel, their belly button. Vayu Toloim Yotzim Milshona Venichnasub Tiburam. And worms were coming out of their tongues and going into their belly buttons. And we Tiburam Venichnasos. And then the opposite as well. It was going back and forth. The Kli Yukar there explains beautifully that Eretz Yisrael is like the navel. It's known as the belly button of the world, so to say. It's that central place. And when a person is also in utero, that's where they get all
the world.
Correct. And therefore, they spoke negatively but with their tongue about their metaphorical navel. And therefore, those worms were continuing to circle with those two body parts. From Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar, Baskara Mesa, that they died of some sort of choking, and it wasn't the worms, but there was some sort of element, but as we think, Mida Keneged Mida, some form of throat, lips, mouth, tongue, that's the way that they died. Back to the Yardin for a little bit. The Kevan Shalom Ha'achorn Shev Yisrael Min HaYardin. That now that...
It's interesting that they use the word, worms, because wasn't it worms that was used to help build the...
Interesting. I see that Shalom has like this ding ding moment.
And
perhaps that just demonstrates that everything in this world can be. We had a guest at our house, a seminary girl, the other day. I think it was a seminary girl, and she's like, "Why are there mosquitoes? Like what purpose do mosquitoes have? Like, mosquitoes. There's purposes. Worms. What purposes do worms have? Punishments. Building something. Now that they got it from the Yarden, Chazru Mayim Lim Koman, that the water returned to its spot. Shemar Vayib Alos Hakonim Nosei Aron Bris Hashem Mitoch HaYarden. Right, the water kind of went back. Nitku Kapos Raglei Hakonim Elach HaRava, and the Kohanim kind of stepped back. So what does that mean? Vayishuvu mei hayarden elim komam. The water is going forward. Vayelchu kismol shalshom al kol kidosav. Nimsa explains the Gemara on that pasuk there from Sefer Yoshua Perek Dalet. Aron venosa v'kohanim mitzad echad. The Aron. Well, because what did we explain about the Yarden? That the Kohanim went in with the Aron. They stopped there right at the shore. Because of the schus of the Aron, we said, it split right away. Therefore, the Bnei Yisrael walked through, whether it was single file or not, or how high the wall went, subject of Machlokas the last couple days. Then, as the Bnei Yisrael walked through, the Kohanim took a step back and the water came. So all of a sudden, they're on two sides. Nimsa Aron Venosa V'Kohanim Mitzad Echad, that the Kohanim are on the east side, they're not in Eretz Yisrael yet. V'Yisrael Mitzad Echad, and the Bnei Yisrael are on the west side. Nasa Aron Nasa Aron Esnosav. So how do they get over? The Aron carried its carriers, the Avar, and they went. Whether they walked on water or whether they flew, it seems like they flew, or some element of going defying gravity. The Aron carried them. Shnemar vayihi kasher tom kol ha'am levor vayavor Aron Hashem. And then the Aron Hashem passed. Vakonim lefnei ha'am.
We see also that when it came to David HaMelech bringing the Aron to Yerushalayim, and it was on that cart.
Oh, so we're about to discuss that a lot. Thank you. You're on the ball. Amazing. Baruch Hashem. I just heard a question, so why'd it have to be this way? Why couldn't they just walk through after everybody? Yeah, last, you know, like a counselor in camp. Who's the last person? And they'll just walk behind the last person. They'll just go. So why do they have to, they're going to take a step back and then they're going to fly. Can't they just walk through? Can't they just do this like everybody else?
There's millions and millions of tons of water waiting for you to fall. You know?
The last safta who's walking through also did.
No, because they had the water in there. Holding it back.
So, but the Aron could go through and the water was still wait. What, 12 mil, 300 mil? All right, an extra mil or two, right?
Just didn't want anybody to say last one there was a dirty dog.
Last but not least. So I heard a beautiful answer that
only to live
literally
to wash the coins. So.
As they're going into Eretz Yisrael, that final sentence that Hashem is sending them off with is that those who carry the Aron, those who carry Torah, not only those who study Torah, is our mission here in this world. Those who carry it will truly be able to fly. Okay, so moving on here. I skipped a line. Valdavarzeh Nenashuza. And Uzzah, this is how Uzzah became punished. This is how Uzzah messed up. This is again in the times of.
Did some of them go across with Bnei Israel?
Very good question. Very good question. Didn't you learn Sefer Yoshua with Rabbi Behar?
Yeah, I don't know if we covered that.
You didn't cover that flying people story? No? Cool. So perhaps ask him this morning.
I will.
Please. Val Dover Zen and Ashuza. Uzzah was punished because of this. Again, this is in the times of Eli. The Plishtim took the Aron, as we were discussing yesterday. Finally, they got it back. Again, it came to Avinadav. It came to Beit Shemesh, Dov then brought it to the Obed Edom. So this is where Uzzah messed up in this general story. Shemar Vayavo Ad Goren Kidon, Vayishlach Uzzah Estiado Lechozes Aron. Right, he saw the Aron was on the wagon. He saw it slipping off the wagon, so he jumped to touch it with his hands. Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Uzzah, Nosav Nasa. The Aron doesn't need you to carry, it carries itself. Atzmo Lo Kol Shekein? Right, sorry, those who carried the Aron flew. Are carried with it. Nos of Nasa. Atzmo lo kol shekein cannot carry itself. And so big was his punishment for trying to stop the Aron from falling, which is Tzarech Iyun Sham. Vayicharaf Hashem be'uzah, vayakeyu sham al hashal v'chulu. That Hashem killed, that he was killed there. Hashem got angry at Uzzah and he was killed there. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar. Trying to understand what it means, vayakeyu sham al hashal. What does shal mean? Chad amar al iske shalo, that he was killed because of what just happened, because of his deficiency in trying to carry the aron, shal shalo, as we discussed. Chad amar sha'asa tzrachav b'fanav. Or, because he was asa tzrachav, he went to the bathroom in front of the aron. That's literal meaning there. There's a whole other pshat, I don't want to get into, but a whole other pshat that maybe he wore his shoes in front of the Aron based on what Tzrachav means. But anyways, there was some sort of disrespect that he displayed for the Aron. Vayamas sham im Aron ha'elokim. Amar v'yochanan Uza bal olam haba. Uza went to olam haba. Shnemar im Aron ha'elokim. It says that he died there with the Aron ha'elokim. Ma Aron la'olam kayam. Just like the Aron is around forever. It's eternal. Torah is eternal. Af Uza bal olam haba. So because it juxtaposes his dying and the Aron, it shows that he did go to olam haba. He does have eternity. Vayichar l'David. Al Asher Paratz Hashem Paratz Be'uza. What does Vayichar LeDavid mean? Amar Rabbi Lazar Shinishtanu Panav Kacharara. David HaMelech was felt so bad that it says Vayichar LeDavid. It seemed like David was angry, but that doesn't work in context for what Hashem did to Uza, right? Was he angry at Hashem or what happened? David HaMelech felt so bad because he was the one who put the...
He was embarrassed.
He put the Torah, he put the Aron on the wagon, so he felt that he was kind of behind it. So, says the Gemara, it's not that Vayichar means angry, it means that he became embarrassed, his face became black and like coals about what happened. Do we say now, fine, every time the Torah says Vayichar, it means that he's not angry, but he became embarrassed, black and like coals? Vayichar means angered, fired up. Hasam ksiv no. Hasam ksiv af. So where it says Vayichar and af, you're right, that's anger. Hachalok siv af. But in our context, there is no af, and therefore Vayichar could mean that it's just more embarrassed. Face being black and like coals. Darash Rava mipnei man enash David. What did David do to deserve that this happened because of him? As we know, even when somebody gets hurt or somebody gets punished on account of somebody else, there's reasons why. So why was David the cause for this? Mipnei shekar ledivrei Torah zmiros. Because he called Torah zmiros. Shnemar zmiros hayu lo chukecha v'bayis migurei. He called it zmiros. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem says to David HaMelech, divrei Torah, shekasov behen hit if einecha bo ve'einenu. Right? Divrei Torah, in which we say about it, when you close your eyes, it's always, it will be gone from you. Which means that if Torah is not on our lips, it's going to leave us. We constantly have to be learning, daf yomi, consistently, always. We have to be learning daily, morning, night. We can't just take breaks. It'll be gone. Ata koreis on zmiros? Songs. Who sings songs all day? Nobody. Songs you sing intermittently, occasionally, sporadically. So therefore, how can you compare songs to Torah? They're very different things. Hareini machshilcha b'davar shafil tshinoka shalbeis rabban yodin oso. Therefore, Hashem says, I'm going to punish you. I'm going to make you stumble because you refer to Torah as songs. I'm going to make you stumble in a way that even children, in a possible that even children know about. That for the carries of the Aron, kahas, that no lo nasan, we don't put it on wagons, and even children know that, and therefore you're going to mess up in that pasuk. And David HaMelech put the Aron in the wagon, and he messed up in a way that the kids do.
Actually, like songs or something that's actually like mentioned, even like with the Moshe Rabbeinu, when we were crossing the Yam Suf, he actually sang a song, and it speaks about it. Even the ubav inside the woman was also saying.
Excellent. So first of all, the farshim bring down that we could sing our Torah. We could sing our Torah, and we should sing.
Well, Torah is a song. It's supposed
to be a song. Torah, right, the whole tira is, right?
Shira is it?
Right, that we should write down. That's an excellent question. Meaning we should sing our Torah when we need that extra boost. But you're right, the Torah calls it a Shira.
Chizkiyahu HaMelech, isn't he punished? It could have been Mashiach if he had sung, he didn't sing.
Really?
Yeah.
It's the difference between Shira and Zmira.
Oh, what?
I don't know, but it's not the same thing.
Oh. Saying good, Shalom. So you're going to get back to us on what the difference is today? That's probably the answer. There's something about a zemer and something about a shira, which seem to be very different things.
I think a zemer has more to do with musical instrument rather than a voice song.
No, but even with Miriam, it still refers to it as a shira.
It had instruments.
A zemer might just be like a short, like tiny, like...
Perhaps it's a shorter, less Excellent. Good. Vayachmanche Beit Shemesh. Beit Shemesh. Baruch Hashem Beit Shemesh. For the second day in a row, we're talking about Beit Shemesh. Right? Another area in which the people did not act respectfully towards the Aron. Vayachmanche Beit Shemesh. They were punished. Ki ro ba'aron. Because they saw the Aron when the Plishtim returned it to Beit Shemesh. Mishum dera'u vayach. Says Gemara, because they saw it, they were punished. What's the case here? Rabbi Vo, Rabbi Elazar. Chadamar kotzer n'mishtafen hayu. What happened that when the people were working in the field, and the Aron was passing by to come back to Beit Shemesh, that they didn't stop for it, they just kept on reaping and bowing. There wasn't that respect that was given towards the Aron that was passing by. There was a lack of respect. Chadamar, mili nami amor. They also said inappropriate things, turning over, lamed hey, amed beis. Man amrich de imarius. Who angered you? You know, like, what's going on? Like, why'd you leave? Umana to Allah de faisat. And who said something to you that made you come back? Meaning they were speaking towards it in a disparaging way, and therefore the people of Beit Shemesh were punished. They're in Shmuel Aleph. It says that the people were hit. 70 people and 75,000 people. What are these numbers? Rabbi Avo, Rabbi Elazar, Chadamar Shivim Ish, Hayu, V'chol Echad V'echad Shokul Kechamishim Elef. Rabbi 1 says that it was 70 people that were killed. But each one weighed the amount was so great that they were like 75,000, that they were each like 50,000 people. Charamar no, chamishim elef hayu, that they were 50,000 people that were killed. V'chol echad echad shakul kishivim sanhedrin. But each of them were so great that they weighed like each of these sanhedrin.
Could it be that they're talking about these people and their descendants?
It's a good question. There in Shmuel Aleph, the pasuk seems to say that right there the people were killed. And the pasuk does not say shivim, right? Shivim v'chamishim elef ish, but it's shivim ish v'chamishim elef ish. So is it 70 people?
Yeah.
50,000? It was 75,000. Yeah. It said it in a very, you know, it reminds me of the way we talk about Sarah's life, right?
Right.
But here the way in which it describes the plague, it begs to be answered as to what it is.
Maybe modern day Beit Shemesh is a tikkun.
Oh, Baruch Hashem, the Torah that's being studied here in Beit Shemesh. David says it is a tikkun for what happened there. The disrespect that they displayed towards the Aron, we're here at 6:30 in the morning showing a lot of respect towards Hashem's Torah. Back to David HaMelech, transferring the Aron to Yerushalayim. This is 3 months after Uzzah's death, and there's a discrepancy in the Psukim. Vayhi ki tzadu nosei Aron Hashem, shisha tz'adim. Right? Now the people that walked with the Aron Hashem, they took 6 steps, vayizbach shor umeri. And every 6 steps, seemingly, they shechted an ox and a fattened animal. Okay? This was in their appreciation for the fact that they were being alive. Why 6 steps? Why every 6 steps? Says the Radak, because that's how many steps Uzzah took before he died. So every 6 steps, they displayed something to show appreciation for Hashem that they were still alive. Uksiv, what does it say in Divrei Hayamim?
It could actually connect to the... Yaakov came to Esav, he kissed him. Right?
Uh-huh.
And on Neshikah, it has the 6 dots. And prior to that, he was sending him all kinds of gifts and stuff like that. In order to...
That's a great connection.
Very interesting.
Oh, so everybody has homework for today. Everybody has their own. You're gonna find somebody that says that?
I just said it. That's
awesome. Good. Uksiv, and it says in... Elsewhere, Shiva Par Meshiva Elam, right? That it was Shiva Par Meshiva Elam. So was it 6 or was it 7? Amar Papa Bar Shmuel, here's how we answer it. Al Kol Psia Upsia Shor Umeri, that every step they took was a Shor Umeri, which is an ox, and again, a fan animal. Al Kol Shesh Vishesh Psios, but for every 6 steps that they took, Shiva Par Meshiva Elam. For that, it was 7 oxen and 7 rams. Amar Le Rav Chista Im Kain. That many animals? Milesos kolar so bamos. There must have been animals everywhere. Every step they're shechting, and every 6 steps they're. What is going on here? El Amar Chistal kol sheisha sheish psios. No, so he kind of stretches it out a little bit more. That for every 6 steps, Shoru Mary. Al kol sheisha sedarim shel sheish psios. But for every series of 6 steps, which means 6 by 6, which means. Thank you. A little bit of mass stimulation for the morning. Shiva par v'shiva elam. Great, so hopefully we have less bamos, less animal blood, that's all over. Ksiv, Divrei Hayamim. Where did the story with Uzzah happen? Kidon, Ksiv Nachon. Did it happen in Kidon or did it happen in Nachon? Amar Rebbe Yochanan, Batchilo Kidon, which really means that it started in Kidon. That was like the that was the beginning of Uzzah's death. That's where it was caused. Ulevasof Nachon. And in the end, it eventually brought Ulevasof Nachon. Then I think it happened in Nachon, which means that it also eventually brought much bracha to the home of Obed Edom, the fact that he was able to have the Aron there. As you wrap up the stretch of a lot of Agadata, every line here is chock full. We should recognize that this Gemara, this Agadata, is penetralia. Elliot's for you. It's the most private or secret of things. This Gemara is total penetralia. It's deep, and every part of it is deep, and every element is deep. We've barely touched and scratched the surface. But we should recognize that the tremendous depth that there is. Yeah.
Penetralia?
Well, we try to do a word of the day when we can. So the word of the day is penetralia, which means the most secret or private of things. And this Agadata certainly is. Every line that we have here, we try to bring out nice elements, but we should recognize there is so much more than meets the eye. Nimsei Sato Omer Shloshim Minei Avonim Hayu. There were three kinds of stones. Echad Jekim Moshe Be'eretz Moav, one that Moshe set up in Eretz Moav. Shenemer Be'var Yardin Be'eretz Moav, Hoel Moshe Be'er V'chula. Right? That Moshe set up that stone where he explained the Torah. Ula Lanu Omer V'chasavta Alein Az Kol Devar HaTorah Zos V'chulu. And he wrote in it the whole entire Torah. V'asio Be'er Be'er. And we have this Gzer Shava, Be'er and Be'er. The Echod, Shehikim Yoshua B'soch HaYardin. One that Yoshua set up in the Yardin. Shnemer Shteim Esrei Avonim, Hekim Yoshua B'soch HaYardin. That Yoshua set up those 12 stones in the Yardin, which we discussed over the last couple days. The Echod, Shehikim B'Gilgal. And one that he set up in Gilgal. Shnemer Veshteim Esrei HaAvonim, Oyla Asher Lochu B'chulu. Tonar Bonan, just to wrap up here in the next minute or two. Kitzad Kosu Yisrael Es HaTorah. How do they write the Torah on Har Eval? Amachlokas. Rabbi Omer Al Kol Al gabe avanim kasvua, that they wrote on the stones themselves. Shenemer vechasavta al haavanim es kol devar Torah zos vechulu al avanim. They wrote it on the stones. The achar kach sado son besid, and afterwards they put the sid on it. They covered it with plaster, which can symbolize that the Torah does not come easy. The plaster's on it. We got to tear away the plaster. It's not an easy process, but that's what Torah is all about. It's about to work. To laasopa devar sara. Amar lo Rabbi Shimon lidvarecha. According to you, heichlam du umos shelo son asman Torah. The whole purpose was to write this down in 70 languages so that the umos can learn Torah. If it's covered up with seed, with plaster, then how do they do so? Amarlo bini sera nasanabim hakadosh baruch hu. Hashem gave them bini sera. The shigru no tirin shalohen v'kilfuas hasid, that they sent their scribers to go and scrape off the seed, the hisi uha, and they were able to carry it away. Are we supposed to teach non-Jews Torah? Are we teaching them? We're writing this down. We're discussing this the other day. They're going to write it in 70 languages. So perhaps this is Torah Shebiksav, and it's not Torah Shebal Peh. Right? They're writing down the Torah Shebiksav. Or Hashem was giving them one more chance after the Torah was given. Hashem gave the non-Jews a chance before the Torah was given. He asked all the non-Jewish nations, but now he's given them one more chance to say, look, now the Torah's here. You sure you don't want it? Take a look, because this is your last chance.
It goes back to what we said, that a little bit of being Magr the Yardin, has a lot of pieces of
you're right, of right.
A lot of repetitive themes from Ramat Harsinai, you see, by this the Yardin.
Another one. Do you remember some of the others? Stones, okay. And this is what was Gzardin on them going to the Be'er Shachas. Because they had the ability to learn and they didn't learn Torah. That they wrote it not on stone, but they wrote on plaster itself. And they wrote on the bottom of the stones. What did they write? Had you learned, we recognize that had they returned then, that they would have been accepted. Dear Rabbi Shimon, why did Rabbi Shimon say that they wrote it on plaster? Because of Ahayu Amim Misrafos Sid, that as it says in Yeshaya, that they will be burnings of Sid, the non-Jewish nations. Al Iske Sid, because they're Sid, because they didn't learn from the Sid, that's why. Rabbi Yehuda, how would he explain that pasuk? Ki Sid, it's like plaster. Ma Sid Elo Takana El Asrefa, just like Sid has no Takana, it's only burned. Afosam Hakosim, Afosam Hakusim Elam Takana El Asrefa. They only have, their only thing that they can happen is Srefa to be burned. Just to bring us up to the top here. Come on, Azal HaDetanya, what's this Brisa like? Okay, I'll stop right here. Three lines up from the bottom. Lamed Hey, Amad Face. What a day. I wish us a great day. Tomorrow, more miracles. All about 8-foot stones. Exciting stuff that's upcoming. Have a great day.